When I was a kid, my dad used to watch the McNeil Lehrer News Hour on PBS. And that was like church time. Like, you were not allowed to talk to dad when that was on. And I don't know that they had a political opinion. If they did, it wasn't apparent. I mean, obviously, I was a kid, and obviously, you know, you can express bias, media bias, by what you choose to cover and what you choose to talk about, what you don't. But there used to be a thing in the news where the on-air people did not have an opinion. You know? So they were covering a presidential campaign. It was, this guy said this and this guy said that, whatever it was. You know, there was no, they didn't editorialize the news. I kind of grew up with two ideas of media. One was that there was this sort of separate class of passive observer that were just telling us what was going on. That's the ideal. That's a group of people that deserve respect and protection. A group of people who agree to work together to simply report things that are happening in the world that you might not otherwise know about. My mother used to always tell me, don't believe everything you read or see or hear, because the downside of free speech and the freedom of the press is that they can write and say anything they want. I'm not sure where that comes from. She's not the most like counterculture revolutionary person, but that was a constant. She taught me to be, or, you know, all of us to be very critical of media. Don't believe it just because they wrote it. I wonder if it was the Irish thing. She was involved or hyper interested in the troubles in Ireland, and the reporting on those events was so incredibly biased, pro-England, anti-Irish, that I think maybe that was part of her problem with the media. But anyway, my own disillusionment with media came in 1996. In the fall of 1996, interestingly, kind of ties into what we talked about yesterday. At the end of the Rwandan genocide, a whole bunch of the people involved in it fled over the border into the Democratic Republic of the Congo. They lived in refugee camps. And this old kind of 60s, 70s communist revolutionary guy, Laurent Kabila, showed up there and sort of raised an army from that group of people. Or in part from that group of people. He drew his numbers from them. I don't know where they stood on his the ranking of officers or whatever the case may be. But so that Rwandan genocide led to Kabila being able to conquer the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And he started in the west on the border of Rwanda and began working his way east, which in that country, Zaire, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the west is populated. He started on the eastern edge of Rwanda and moved west. And I was taking a class in high school called PAF 101, Public Affairs 101. It was a Syracuse University course. You could pay money and get credit for it, college credit. Or you could just take, I think I just took it. I don't think I paid the money. Regardless, the class was essentially this. Just give you some idea what goes on in colleges, even back then. The class was, you had to pay for a subscription to the New York Times. And every day the teacher would assign an article to read and then write about or talk about. So in the fall of 1996, Kabila's army was moving west towards Kinshasa, which is the capital. And every single day in the New York Times on page 2 and 3, or maybe it was 3 and 4. I don't remember. Might have been 3 and 4. There was a full page spread about how great this was, how wonderful Kabila was, how he was liberating people in Zaire from the mean whatever that ran the country, how noble his warriors were, how noble his cause was, and what his progress was. They 100% deified this guy. The God King Revolutionary Kabila. Month after month after month after, just went on and on. They were giddy with excitement. It was so clear by reading it. They were giddy with excitement that this was like the new revolution in Africa. And everything was going to change once Kabila took power. And it was so amazing. And they were so happy. And they were so excited. And it's a full 2 pages. So it's like multiple writers. So you've got 5, 6 staff writers assigned to every day just be writing about Kabila and how amazing he was and wonderful. And they had little quotes from him. And fantastic. Wonderful. It's easy to root for the underdog, right? So Kabila does take over Kinshasa and comes and is elevated to power. He's now the president of the Democratic Republic. Not now, but you know, in the early 97, he's the president of Zimbabwe. Zaire. He renames it Democratic Republic of the Congo, and wastes absolutely 0 seconds becoming the guy that he deposed. He's just a stereotypical African dictator, right? Funneling money to French bank accounts and living like a king and treating people terrible, and his soldiers are out raping and pillaging the countryside. Nothing changed. Except for the pocket the money ended in. It was a different pocket attached to a different guy's pair of pants. And quite predictably, the New York Times simply dropped the whole thing. Like it never happened. It wasn't one article one day. It was months of effort. It was probably a square mile of newsprint. They dedicated to the hero worship of a communist dictator in training. I don't like completely insane. They never addressed it. They never apologized. They never were like, man, we got that totally wrong. We're sorry. Never happened. To this day. And some part of you might be like, dude, that was, you know, how many years ago? 22 years ago. Get over it. But the point isn't that I care one way or the other. The point is, and no, I'm not getting over it. You get over it. So the point is, They do that exact same thing all the time, over and over and over and over and over again. They just pick a narrative and run with it. And when the whole thing blows up in their face, even if it's blowing up in their face in the middle of, like, the reports of the destruction of villages, rape and pillage and wanton random murder of citizens were coming out while they were praising this guy and his army. But it didn't fit the story they were telling about Kabila and his wonderful band of communist revolutionaries, so they just didn't talk about it. They left it out. And as time has gone on, from 1996 until 2018, that mentality, the whole entire has infected all of media. Anything related to news is now infected with that. They are no longer, if they ever were, I don't know, but they 100% have nothing to do with any sort of passive observation and reporting of events. That is 110% not what they're doing, not what they're trying to do, and now they're not even trying to pretend that they're doing it. The news media in the United States of America believed that they could get Hillary Clinton elected the President of the United States. They believed that they had a huge role in getting Obama elected the President of the United States. And whether that's true or not, I don't know, but he certainly acted like it was. He was very, very friendly with them, and they were absolutely unwilling to talk about anything negative about Obama ever. I've talked about this before. My problem with the news media's coverage of Donald Trump isn't their coverage of Donald Trump. It's the fact that I remember their coverage of George W. Bush, which was equally negative. And then I remember 8 years of Obama where nothing bad was said about the man the entire time. If either Bush or Trump did any of the things Obama did while in office, the news media would have crucified him. But because it was Obama, it was their buddy who was nice to them and let them fly on the plane and hang out and have drinks together, whatever they did together, they were not going to say anything bad about him. Never mind that he caused a civil war in the Ukraine. Never mind that he destroyed North Africa. But they still haven't recovered. Never mind all the stupid things he said. Never mind that he killed an American citizen without due process. That was a minor child. You know, never mind that, if you want to get to the border thing, never mind that they were locking kids in cages. Nope, not going to talk about any of that. Doesn't fit the narrative. And they believed with Hillary Clinton that they could get her elected president. They believed that they could control outcomes. Now, Donald Trump in the Republican primary got a ton of attention for two reasons. Initially, he got a ton of attention because the news media thought it was funny to push him forward as a serious candidate. Well, they didn't think that he was a serious candidate, but they thought they could make him seem more serious candidate by covering him. But then they saw their ratings when they did cover him. And what they thought was, they thought they were the dog and that Trump was the tail. They realized pretty quickly that was the opposite. They stopped covering Trump for any sort of political idea. They started covering Trump because it meant people would watch the news. And by the way, the ratings stink. So it was like the only two things people have tuned in for in the last decade are war and Trump. So anyway, so they thought they could get Hillary Clinton elected. So they had Trump as the nominee on the Republican side, who they thought was a terrible candidate and easy to tear apart, which he wasn't. And then they had Hillary Clinton, who actually was a terrible candidate, actually was easy to tear apart. But they decided they were going to ignore everything that was horrible about Hillary Clinton. They would dismiss the whole email investigation. To this day, you have high-level public figures in the news media who scoff at mention of Hillary Clinton's handling of her emails, which 100% is illegal. Everyone knows it. That doesn't matter. Don't talk about the emails. You're going to bring up the emails? Well, did she go to jail yet? No. Okay, then I'm going to bring up the email. You know, and the other thing, Hillary Clinton is 100% guilty of RICO. Everyone knows that Hillary Clinton is a terrible candidate. Everyone knows that Hillary Clinton is a criminal. Everyone knows that Hillary Clinton absolutely 100% lies. Everyone knows that Hillary Clinton is 100% about herself and consolidating power and getting wealthy and getting money and getting paid. That the Clinton Foundation was a scam. Everyone knows that they stole money from the Haiti relief when they had the earthquake. Everyone knows they diverted funds to her daughter's wedding. All these things are public. And the news media was going to not talk about it because they think that they are the gatekeepers to information for all you rubes out there. All you dummies will believe what you are told. How dare you not believe us when we tell you something? That's how they act. So they've totally abandoned the idea of being observers of truth and tellers of the news. And they moved on to trying to control narratives. That 1996 New York Times, Laurent Kabila is the second coming of Jesus Christ in Africa, nonsense narratives. They forward, and they think that doesn't matter. They can just do it. And there's nothing you're going to do about it. You're not going to stop them. They haven't connected the dots to the fact that nobody consumes their media anymore. Newspapers are going out of business left and right. MSNBC is a news channel on television that some nights gets 100,000 viewers. In a country of 300 million people, people is 0.1%. And they're getting a third of that sometimes? Like, oh my God. Come on. Nobody watches your crap. And nobody buys your newspapers. And they haven't connected the dots. So yeah, they're going to make Hillary Clinton this candidate, and you're just going to eat it up and buy it. So Trump is a lot of things, but one of the things that Trump is he can smell bullshit. It seems to me he can smell bullshit about 50 miles away. And by the way, for everyone who's like, oh, he lies, he's full of shit, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. He knows it, though. He's and I don't really think he's pretending that it's not true. So when Trump says something that's ridiculous, if you watch him, he like laughs after. He knows what he's doing. He's not pretending it's all serious and earnest and the gospel. Anyway. So Trump seizes on this idea that people are fed up with the news. And like I talked about before with the guy in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, the best thing to do with a bully is to mock them and make fun of them and make everyone look at them and laugh. They don't know how to handle that. They don't know what to do with that. And the news media, in their mind, I think I just lost part of that, but they're condescending and they're rude and they treat everyone who doesn't agree with them as being stupid. Colonizers. They are colonizers of America. They're going to tell you backwards yokels how to think. And just like in North Korea, Trump seized on the idea that they were bullies and he started to mock them. And came with the fake news thing, or he started talking about the fake news thing that somebody else came up with, whatever the case may be. And it caught on like wildfire. Why did it catch on like wildfire? Well, two reasons. One, because it's true. They're not disseminating news. They're preaching a narrative to serve a political agenda. So that's the first part of it, because it is fake news. The other reason it caught on is because people hate them, because people don't like being condescended to and talked down to by these... By what? Who are they? Not like they're getting talked down to by, like, Supreme Court justices or Albert Einstein. These just bozos that went to college and have perfect hair until they got put on TV. The Matt Lauers of the world with the weird creepy door locking button under their desk so they can harass female coworkers. Nobody wants to be talked down to by that guy. So it caught on. And then something happened that I never would have predicted. The people in the news media started to respond to regular people calling them fake news. If you go on social media or if you watch the news, they will address the fact that virtual nobodies, people who have no influence over anyone, have called them fake news and they will react and respond to it. 100% hit a nerve. It drives them insane not to be worshipped as the disseminators of information. It makes them crazy that people call them fake news. And every single time Trump does anything to make regular people scoff or laugh or jeer them, they become unhinged. How dare he? They actually called Trump the enemy of the free press when he pointed out that the fake news was at one of his rallies and the crowd started chanting fake news. Oh, it's dangerous behavior. He's an enemy of the free press. Like, the idea that regular people could talk back at them is above them. They've anointed themselves like the royal class. How dare you, peasants, talk back to me? So last night was the crowning moment of crowning moments for me personally. As somebody who feels antagonistically towards the news media in our country, CNN's Jim Acosta is amongst the worst of the worst. For all the things I'm talking about. Preaching a narrative, acting like it's news. Declaring himself enormously important. Being willing to interrupt diplomatic events in order to get his own name out there and somehow act like he's owed something when he's not. just being ridiculous. Trying to make every press briefing about himself at the White House. The worst. So Trump had a rally yesterday. I don't even know where it was. And he's doing some sort of report, and in the background, some guy stands up behind him with a sign that says CNN sucks. And it's a live feed to the Trump rally, and Acosta's talking, and the guy has a sign. And you know he's got an earpiece in, so you know somebody on CNN's telling him it's there. There's nothing he can do about it. And then the crowd starts to chant, "Go home, Jim." And which on the one hand has got to seem kind of threatening. You have a large group of people chanting that they don't want you around. That's got to feel bad. But on the other hand, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful to see these media types come unhinged, that the regular people aren't under their spell. And while they gleefully report about Pam Bondi being spit on in a Mr. Rogers movie, or Sarah Huckabee Sanders being kicked out of a restaurant, that they can't go out in public either, is kind of fitting and beautiful. I'm not a fan of any of it in that sense. But if you're going to preach that kind of crap, then there you go. There it is. But to see Jim Acosta and by proxy, the entire news media, who view themselves as the holy royal class above all the peasants, have his own off with the head moment at the Trump rally. It was a beautiful thing. And I know, I didn't watch the news this morning, but I know they're having fits. How dare these peasants chant, "Go home, Jim. Trump is the enemy of the free press." I can hear it now. Not a moment of self-reflection. Not a moment of thinking they've done something wrong. No apology from the New York Times for the 1996 Laurent Kabila, God King, ridiculous nonsense reporting. Just tell the story, blow up, and move on to the next story, doing the same exact thing. Don't take a moment and reflect that it's a bad idea. Don't take a moment to apologize for your mistakes. Just keep on trucking. So you get what we get now. They don't pretend that they're not partisan. They don't pretend that they're not forwarding an agenda, except for when you directly confront them on it, then they deny it. But in their day-to-day activities, they don't even try to hide it. And the country's turning on them. And there's part of me that thinks that's bad. It's really, really bad that our institutions are disintegrating. And then there's part of me that just wants to watch the world burn. So anyway, I hope you all have a fantastic day. I hope that you haven't angered an entire nation like Jim Acosta. And that no one boos you and tells you to go home. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Check us out later. This week, we got some guests coming up. It's pretty exciting. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. First. Seems cool as a cucumber.
Cool as the other side of the pillow.
Look at this mess.